Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the America's Jobs Team. We have been featuring the top 50, North America's top 50, I should say, economic developers. And we have another top 50 recipient here with us today, and we're going to dive into her journey. But before we even launch into the journey, I feel like we need to start with just an introduction. So we have with us today Betsy Markey. And I am just so excited that you're here, coming to us from the Office of Economic Development and International Trade. And we need to hear more. How did you get into this field of economic development? And how did you find your way into the position that you are in now?
Great. Well, thank you, Carla, and happy to be here. It has been a journey that, of course, like everyone, twists and turns. But I first got into public service, working in Washington, D.C., worked for the Treasury Department and the State Department. And then back in the mid to late 1980s, decided to pursue a dream of owning our own business. So launched a small technology company that was marketing a new technology at the time called electronic mail. And that really spurred my interest, I have to say, in economic development. I've always been very interested in public policy, but really exciting to see as a business owner, you know, hiring people right out of college, you know, seeing them grow and develop in their own careers, whether it was in sales or software development, buying homes, having kids of their own. And really getting to understand at that point that how intertwined public policy and economic development are, because really quality of life in any community starts with a good job. So that started me on my journey. I became very involved in the Chamber of Commerce, and then decided about 10 years ago to run for Congress. And really ran on a platform of having owned and operated two small businesses, and how people in the public sector also needed to understand the private sector and the business community.
Okay, so how did you end up where you are now? Like, what took you there? You ran for Congress.
Yeah, ran for Congress. Then I worked in two other federal departments. One was for the Department of Homeland Security in Washington, D.C. And then I was appointed as the regional administrator for the Small Business Administration. So I oversaw small business operations in a six-state territory based in Denver. I was appointed by President Obama for that position and had never done state government work before. I'd been really on the federal side of things and then in private business. And I had known Governor Polis when he was in Congress as well. We were in Congress together. And that's it was an interest of mine to work in state government. And it's been a really wonderful journey these last couple of years.
That's awesome. I love your pathway and I love the connection between public policy and small business and just really feeling like your constituents and the residents need to understand the connection between that private sector. I want to talk a little bit more about that because I think one of the challenges that we have in economic development is just people really not really understanding what economic development is and what it does. So as you try to translate that to your partners and your peers, how do you kind of make the connection for them between economic development and all of the other social issues and governmental programs and support systems, small business included, that kind of make up the fabric of a community? Like, how do you describe what economic development is?
I guess I would want to start by saying that I want to impress on elected leaders, whether it's at the state, local, or federal level, that a healthy community is based on a healthy economy, which really means making sure that you are supporting your existing businesses, attracting new ones, and creating, again, that healthy base of jobs for your community, because these are the people and these are the companies that are paying taxes and contributing to the ability to provide for all of those things that make your community special, whether it's, you know, good roads and parks, childcare facilities, good schools. This is all based on making sure that you have a healthy economy in your community. And it's not a partisan issue. But if we want to be able to fund all of these good things that make our community special, we have to start by making sure that people have good jobs.
Yeah, that's a great, I wish we could have we're going to have to just get that soundbite out there to people because you explained it so great. And I feel like there's just a lot of confusion. Even for us, I'll go to family Christmas and people ask, what do you do? What do you do for your job again? And you just try to describe it and it's harder than you think to describe. It should be so easy.
And it's important though, to, as I mentioned, Daryl, to really try to bridge that gap between, what we're doing in economic development and how it impacts public policy, because it absolutely does. Mm-hmm. And if you have public policy objectives, they're going to be based on a healthy tax base to be able to support that. And making sure that as economic developers, you're keeping it, particularly now when all eyes are focused on economic recovery as we're coming out of the pandemic, and whether it's your local officials trying to figure out how we're going to support our small businesses in our community, because we've realized now more than ever how they are the lifeline of our community and how important they are, to your state government officials. They're mainly all in session now and looking how to spend some additional dollars to support economic recovery, to really the unprecedented amount of federal money that is now coming to local communities to support their recovery. So it's more important now than ever to make sure that people understand the importance of economic development for recovery of our country after the pandemic.
Absolutely. And speaking of the pandemic, I feel like we've just kind of had curveball after curveball thrown at us in the last year. And I know for some economic developers, we talk to so many, and it's just been a wild year for economic developers, a shift in what they thought they were going to be working on in 2020, completely getting kind of turned around and kind of the work changing. And we hear from a lot of them that they're almost even encroaching on burnout. They feel it's hard to see businesses struggling. Their work has shifted. They're, been working a lot of hours and the pressure has just been high. What advice do you have for economic developers or just teams that are kind of struggling right now with how to stay engaged with one another and kind of keep pushing that ball forward?
Well, it certainly has been a year like none other. We have had to shift everything that we're doing in our office from business development and attraction to business recovery. And all of our programs had to shift focus to recovery mode. And now, as we're coming out of recovery mode, we can start looking at the future again. But I have to remind my team that we're the lucky ones. Let's not forget, we have jobs. And it's our job to support those businesses that are struggling, that are going under, it's hard to make ends meet. And it's bigger than us. It's to make sure that we are supporting those that are in need right now. And making sure that they know is hard, and everyone is working so hard. And I have to keep reminding them, but just remember, at the end of the day, go to bed at night knowing that you have helped at least one small business recover somewhat. And that's our job. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. We are seeing our economy start to recover. We are seeing our economies begin to reopen again. And so just keeping them motivated and engaged and upbeat, and the role of a leader is to be a cheerleader to them as well. But I also think it's important to connect with your team on a personal basis as well. It's not always work. So I try to make sure I'm calling them, and it's not just about, okay, I got to discuss these five agenda items, but what'd you do last weekend? How's your family doing? How are you coping during this? I'm always amazed at my staff who are working remotely and they have children at home, and they're also trying to be parent and teacher and do their job as well. They're under tremendous stress. So recognizing that, I think, is important.
Yeah, I think that is so important. And I think it's just a sign of great leadership to recognize that and want to connect on all fronts right now with your team. So let's talk about, you know, your leadership, and you clearly are, you know, a sound leader. You've had a great track record of success. I hear you talking about how you're just even staying connected with your team now. How are you continuing to kind of invest in yourself as a leader so that you can give to others and help lead each other along this path and like with a great vision? What are you, a book reader? Do you listen to podcasts? Like, is there certain trainings you like? What's kind of your, when you need to rejuvenate and kind of push your own self forward, what's your go-to?
Right. Well, one of the things that I missed during the pandemic, I missed not being able to go to the gym and go to like yoga classes, Pilates classes. So I make it a point to walk every day. And I try to walk a couple of miles every day. And what that does for me, it's a way for me to process what's going on. I often get my best ideas when I'm walking. Sometimes I'll even, I'll do some phone calls while I'm walking as well. So that keeps me rejuvenated and keeps me upbeat. And then I'm a reader as well. I try to make sure, you know, we're all so overwhelmed with emails, but I try to disconnect by at least 8 o'clock at night and give myself several hours to read. So I usually have a couple of books going on at the same time. Sometimes they're an audiobook or a regular book. I'm reading the new book by Doris Kearns Godwin, which is Leadership in Turbulent Times. And that's been a good book to read during the pandemic.
Yeah, I like that. I also am. I go back and forth between listening and reading. And yeah. Other people don't understand that. They're usually like one or the other. And I'm like, gosh, like I do both. And I also have multiple books going at the same time, which a lot of people that just is like, they just can't.
Well, I do that as well. I'm also reading just for fun, a Rick Bragg book. He writes about the South where I come from, and it's just very different take. It really depends on what you need at the time, you know, what your mind needs, if you need to relax, if you want to be inspired. And that's how I look at reading as well. And then I try to connect with my, I have both children, husband, just try to keep connected with my family and my close friends too.
Yeah. So one last question for you. And I feel like I just have to ask this because it's been such a divisive kind of like political year. So on top of the pandemic, we had kind of a divisive election. And I know you've spent a lot of time in service for our country and for different communities. As we're looking now for leadership and wanting people to get into these roles where they can help lead our country forward and our communities forward, what advice do you have for people? I feel like we have a lot of people kind of sitting on the sideline, a little bit intimidated or scared to jump into those leadership positions, just because of how high profile and divisive we've seen some of those elections become. Do you have any advice for people who feel like that they really could contribute, but maybe just nervous about like that kind of criticism and backlash? And
sure. Yes, that's a very good question. And because the rhetoric has become so ugly and divisive, I know it has people who in their heart would love to serve in a more public role. It's made it difficult, our discourse. I think one of the things that we all need to accept is that a failure is going to be part of our journey in life, and that you can't be courageous. You can't take risks unless you know that you're going to fail. And I failed a couple of times. It was difficult for me to make that decision to run for public office. I was encouraged to do so by some close mentors of mine who were already in public office. And I thought, I don't think I can do that. But I received good encouragement and it was the best thing I ever did. I lost an election and that was difficult, but I never looked back. And I think most people can say this: when you do take on that risk and you get out of your comfort zone, you may not always succeed, but you're a better person for it. And I always believe that when one door closes, another one opens, and there'll be other opportunities down the road. But you'll be a better person, you'll be a stronger person, a more courageous person, if you're willing to take those risks.
Yeah. Well, that's just the encouragement that I think a lot of our listeners needed today, not just to kind of think about public service in a more official way, but also just as economic developers, I think we're in an interesting situation in our communities where we are leading, maybe not in an elected way, but certainly leading at an intersection between elected officials and our communities and our business sector. And I just feel like we need that encouragement of like, it's okay to fail. We have to take risks. I love what you said about like, you're win or lose, you're going to be a better person for it if you take the risk and you get out of your comfort zone. So thank you.
Absolutely. And we have to remember that economic development is a team sport. And it's not just, you know, what we're doing at the state level. You know, we provide incentives for job growth. We depend on our partners, our local elected officials, our local economic developers to provide that other support, whether it's capital investment to attract those companies. We are dependent on resources from the federal government. So it really is a true partnership.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Betsy, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I really enjoyed talking to you. You had a lot of great insight for our listening audience, and I hope that you enjoy a much needed vacation, I'm sure, when you're able to do that, and just have a great rest of your day. Thank you for being our guest.
Great. Thank you, Carla. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.